Welcome back to the Broadway Block. Three-game winning streak. Back-to-back shutouts for Igor. Are we back? Is this looking good? Is Mika March here? How are you feeling about the team so far in the last three or four games?
Well, and to touch on Mika, you mentioned he finally scores a goal. So that's got to be huge. Kind of get the monkey off the back there. Igor, 9 wins out of his last 11 since the All-Star break. And, you know, you kind of got a sense that that break did the team some good, but it obviously did Igor some good.
The most good out of anybody.
Yeah, I mean, and having Benoit Lair is such like a spoil to us now that we don't even realize how blessed we are to have really always had that in-house. And he's obviously found his game having had the two shutouts, obviously. But I think the bigger story is, you know, looking at the standings now, looking at the teams that we just played and kind of thinking about this at the start of the season kind of feels impossible that, you know, you would lean on Quick to go against the Devils, who are probably not going to make the playoffs in this situation. And then, you know, you ride into a shutout and then shut out the Hurricanes the next game. So, I mean, all is well in that front. And we're getting good contributions all throughout the lineup. I mean, we can go on, but what did you think about the last few games?
Well, obviously, I'm upset about the Rempe being suspended for 4 games for the elbowing of Siegenthal. Like, I didn't think it was that bad for 4 games. Like, we've seen worse in the NHL, and it goes back to that. We just don't know what the standard is once it goes to, like, the NHL on, like, player protocol and safety. So it just kind of makes like you don't really know what's going to happen with the player. So that stinks, because I felt like Rempe, besides, you know, becoming that fighter that we all love, I felt like in the last couple games he's really been finding himself on the offensive front and the defensive front. He's really been hustling back. That play against the Blues where Rempe takes it away from Sunkrest and then throws it down to Goodrow, and Goodrow just feeds him right back in. And obviously the goal didn't count, the Rempe goal, but that's like what you want to see out of your fourth line, like, you know, getting production and bringing it from one side of the ice to the other. Another thing that was exciting that I thought, and this was against a good team, which was the Canes, was the Adam Fox goal. Was we were keeping the pressure sustained down there, and it was great to see like Mikko hustle on the boards, pass it back to Lindgren. Lindgren rips one, and then Fox just is there for the rebound. And this, when does it happen that it hits off a former Rangers skate and just goes in? Like, you know, so like, and obviously like Brady Shea, we thought he was going to be kind of similar what we are getting production wise out of Adam Fox. So it was great to see, like, you know, that's your former guy that we got rid of because you just kind of like came in and took that first role defenseman position.
Yeah. And obviously there's the small storyline with Adam Fox and Carolina. Obviously we could have waited to sign him as a free agent, having already mentioned and made it pretty public that he wasn't going to sign with the Flames and then the Hurricanes. But it's hard because we, like you kind of alluded to, we don't always get those little lucky bounces. So, you know, part of me wants to be like, you know, win's a win, because that's kind of the rebound, is that it's going to happen the opposite way. It does sound cliche, but those plays that you're talking about, the Rempe going to the net and Fox kind of just pinching and getting a good rebound after some sustained pressure, is just plain and simple, like breaking the game down and simplifying things, getting pucks on net and getting rewarded for kind of playing a simpler style of hockey, because we do have a lot of talent on the team. And, you know, if you're not willing to work hard, you know, hard work always beats talent. But if you work hard and you have this talented team, I mean, these are, I think, you know, you kind of create your own luck. You kind of end up in this lucky bounce situation because you were doing things the right way.
So we didn't really touch base on last week's episode about, you know, we had trade speculation, but who we actually acquired at the deadline. It's been kind of nice to see the deadline boys slowly adjusting. It seems like everybody always wants to come to play to New York. That's what they say after, like, oh, it's always been a dream of mine to play in New York. But it's actually good to see them, like, getting down and actually playing well. And there's still plenty of hockey left. We got like a whole month for them to get adjusted to the team.
Yeah. I mean, we were kind of limited once the bigger pieces came off the board, and it, in a way, seems better to leave that top line right wing spot the way it is. I think that Kakko is going to slide up and down occasionally. I don't think that he's really shown enough to warrant keeping him up there full time, though I'd like to see it. What my point being, I think that when we didn't go out and get a guy like Gensel, that has to give some confidence to Kakko, meaning that that spot's still kind of available. And you get, you know, supplementary third line type players that have fit in really well for that role. And, you know, we think back to two deadlines ago, you know, you get Vetrano, you get Kopp, and people were excited because it filled holes at the time. And, you know, we got some supplementary scoring. We actually got probably more than we should have from guys like that, which is a huge reason why we were propelled into the Eastern Conference Finals. If you look at last year's deadline, you know, we really emptied the cupboard compared to the year before, whereas we were trading fourth and third and fifth round picks. You know, we go out last year, we waste some first round picks, and we get the biggest names on the market, not one, but twice. And I think this year, we kind of had more of a similar strategy to 2 years ago, where we're getting supplementary guys that could overperform. I mean, Wennberg and Roslovic have both shown that they're more like middle six guys that could kind of slot up a little bit and take on more responsibility should they find some chemistry. They're also both good puck facilitators. And, you know, we have a lot of passing of talent on this team, and sometimes it's too much passing. So it's nice to kind of see them gel. And then we get Chad Ruedel as the seventh, sixth defenseman, which, you know, we kind of highlighted in a few episodes that was also kind of a need. But it's also nice to see Jones.
Andy helped out the Wolfpack. Did you see that little AHL trade he did for Nick Petaion? He was just an AHLer. It was just like pretty much an AHL swap for Turner Elson from the Wild, guy who's just played with the Iowa Wild for all season but made the All-Star. So he got some production down there too.
It's funny too, now that you say that, and Jones, I was just about to say, seems to have had a jump in his step a little bit. So, you know, by getting some of these roles filled out, it's going to be interested to see, you know, I'm going to be interested to see if Jones can take on that role and hold on to it until Trouba comes back. And then we're really deep on defense, and, you know, barring injuries, we have Louis Domingue signed behind Jonathan Quick. So it really seemed like we did a good job of bolstering the depth, knowing that we might lose a few pieces along the way.
I was really happy to shut the Canes out, because I was actually on vacation and I was with a buddy of mine who was a Devils fan. And he was like, oh man, if you guys lose to us tomorrow and then you're facing the Canes, it's like we just shut that door down and kind of just move forward with the 6 points. And hopefully we can close out this month strong and lock up that first position in the Met.
Well, I mean, you say 6 points for three wins. Think about it's 4 points against the Canes, being that would have literally put them right on our tails.
Right on the tail.
And we have a lot of big, important games against Metro teams as well. And we're kind of staking our claim at the top of the division. I know a lot of people, when we hit that losing skid, thought that the Canes would eventually overtake us. And, you know, there's obviously still time. But I felt like that was a really big statement on the season, and just how the season's going. To continue that momentum is obviously huge. And I kind of thought about, before the Devils game, gee, do you play Quick, being that the Devils sold at the deadline and are not likely to make the playoffs, that it seemed like a better move. And another small note on that is that we've seen Igor have his struggles against New Jersey. We've seen Jack Hughes specifically kind of find his number a little bit. So I thought it was a really solid move to put Quick against the Devils, and then you save Igor's perfect performance for the Hurricanes. So another masterclass by Peter Laviolette there to go with the hot hand against the better team. And it feels so good to have two goalies that can just go out there and get you 2 points.
You brought up a good point when we were casually talking, that even though we're seeing the struggles from Mika, and yeah, it was great to see him get a 5-on-5 goal, we're lucky enough that we almost have somebody that could also be slotted in that first line center with Vincent Trocheck.
Yeah, Trocheck's been really the talk of the season. I think we mentioned it briefly last episode, but, you know, the silver lining to all this is that we're playing this well without having had the production from, let's say, the full team all at once. There's been moments where Trocheck and Panarin have kind of just led the dance. Adam Fox, for the games that he's been healthy, has been absolutely incredible, and we're starting to see it now from Igor. So, I mean, imagine what this team's capable of when we're firing on all cylinders and getting supplementary contributions from the rest of the lineup, because a lot can be made of the 5-on-5 production from Mika, but you know, people are really quick to forget about the lack of production from the back end lines. Puts a lot of unnecessary pressure on those guys. They already have the hardest job out there playing center, top line minutes, and it almost feels like a luxury to have a guy like Mika, because you forget about his scoring touch. And when we're firing on all cylinders, man, and rolling four lines, I mean, this team is apples to apples. You can weigh this team against a lot of teams in the league and come out on top, I feel like.
I just can't believe Igor just had his 200th game against the Blues too. That, to me, it's just like, where is time going? We're like seeing Igor's career. Like, and it's similar. I remember when Hank came out, and then it's like, boom, Hank's career was over. So it's like, you got to enjoy these wins and, like, you know, be happy. I see it all the time with these. I'm going to make an NFL comment that people with a franchise quarterback, they kind of take it for granted. And I don't want to say, you know, we're just lucky that we went from Hank to Igor, but it's going quick and we got to get some playoff production. And I love what you said there. If we could just get firing on all cylinders at the same time, the sky's the limit for this team.
Yeah. And I think going back to what we said about the deadline, I don't think that we really gave up a whole lot from the prospect pool, obviously, and the first round picks. You know, there is a weird storyline going around that James Dolan allegedly stated that he didn't want Chris Drury to trade next year's first round pick because the draft happens to take place at the Sphere, a building that's also owned by James Dolan, which I don't know if I fully buy into. I mean, this was reported by, I believe, Darren Dreger, if I'm not mistaken. So there is some speculation involved if this isn't like confirmed, but it just feels really weird to think that the organization would intentionally steer us away from using these first round picks as draft capital, or as trade fodder rather. One thing I do like is that we did sort of steer away from any trade conversation that involved Gabe Perreault and Brennan Othman, and to a lesser note, Adam Sakura and Brett Berard, and these guys that are going to step up and play meaningful minutes when we, you know, come down to needing a cheap entry-level contract that can contribute. I mean, we're seeing how big of an effect Will Cooley, I mean, imagine saying that at the beginning of the season, that Will Cooley's rookie season would be one of the biggest storylines that nobody's talking about, and that he's playing super meaningful minutes for us. So to avoid getting rid of these guys, you think about how some of these teams have stayed relevant for so long, is that they constantly have someone coming up and taking on those important minutes. And, you know, one thing I didn't like was just the idea that, you know, upper management would try to steer us away from a lengthy playoff push where there's so much more money to be made for the organization, by the way, just to see somebody be drafted in their own building. It sounds kind of silly. But at the same time, I'm super
excited. It is James Dolan.
Right.
Things have happened.
Yeah. At the same time, though, I'm really excited that we're not moving on from some of these high draft picks, and that we're, you know, reserving our next 3 years of first round draft picks is still intact. Imagine being a playoff team that's a perennial contender and still having top draft picks and, you know, top draft talent available in your prospect pool.
Yeah, the most we gave up was for Wennberg, and it was only a second with a conditional pick and then a couple fours here and there. I wasn't too upset about, but I just don't see that for Dolan, like putting that rule, because why wouldn't you want to bring a cup to New York? Like, you know, there's no reason why you wouldn't. To do that, you're a legend. And I just think the bidding market for what was out there was just too high to give up first for rentals and stuff like that. I just don't think the juice was worth the squeeze out there when I looked at all the people, possible trade targets. But then I look at the like Knights and I'm like, Jesus, they really loaded up over there with Hurdle and stuff. And but I think for us going forward, we've seen what Rangers teams and Glenn Sather did to the organization by always trading for that we're going to win now. So I was okay with it to not give up a big piece to get the star trade deadline acquisition. I think the team did good with whatever depth they got for what they got. And I think if those guys can piece it all together and we can nurse that right wing position, we should be fine.
Yeah. You mentioned the availability. There weren't many big names and the price tags were exorbitant, but the problem is, like you said, in years past, we've just completely stripped any chance we ever had of maintaining a stable of prospects. And I think that this was such a better usage of just our draft capital and, you know, not waiting till the last minute, but, you know, sometimes the best deals that you make are the ones that you don't. And, you know, while I would have loved an impact player on that top line right wing, I do think that the team is pretty good. And like we've alluded to, I mean, we're probably not getting the full amount that we could out of this team just yet. So I think we do have a good chance moving forward still.
Also, we didn't really touch on Ruedel of the defense. And since we're talking about the Penguins kind of just unloading, like, you know, it's great with the defensemen that when are we ever so covered that we might have a seventh or eighth defenseman?
That's what I was touching on a little bit earlier, is like, you know, Jones, I think, is now understanding since Trouba went down that he has a chance to kind of show himself. Then we get another guy. I think the most insulting thing we could have done was to forget about the fact that Jones has been playing pretty well lately and then put in Chad Ruedel immediately, who I remember playing the same thing that he's being advertised for, quietly effective defense. And I mean, he's not going to impact your offensive score metrics that much, but I mean, this is what we've needed, is just like a low profile, small contract guy that can fill in that seventh, eighth role. And it's nice that Jones is getting the opportunity, like I said, and, you know, Ruedel's a guy that can step in and play, you know, big NHL minutes in a sheltered role on the third pair there. And while Trouba's nursing an injury and comes back, like you said, we're going to have a seventh and eighth role fledged out. I also touched on briefly that we have Louis Domingue signed behind Jonathan Quick, and you sign all these, you know, kind of third round or third line guys for the trade deadline. And now we know that we have guys like Rempe that can kind of step up, that, you know, might see AHL time after he comes back from his suspension. I mean, the team looks deep right now, and in every aspect, it looks like we have something to kind of cover should anything go wrong. So that's exciting to see. I mean, there's always an injury someone's lingering, you know, that they're not being fully truthful about, that they go into the playoffs kind of playing through. So, I mean, it's nice to think that should anything happen, that we kind of have our bases covered a little bit.
Who scares you more out of the Canucks, Vegas, Avs, and the Cats?
Well, out of the top teams, it's hard to ignore that Vegas won the cup, obviously. Vancouver is very boom or bust. I could see them going out in the first round. I can see them going to the finals. So, I mean, that's a team with a lot of potential. Florida, I'm also not entirely sold on. I mean, like, we have to remember they made the playoffs last year because the Penguins lost. Like, they had played their full season and were riding on the Penguins losing to the Blackhawks, which happened. So then they go on and do what they did. It's like, you just have to make it in, and the Panthers are kind of in that boom or bust category too, where, yeah, I could see them getting eliminated in the first round, and I can see them going really, really far. I mean, that would be probably the most exciting, like, you know, Vancouver versus Florida. I mean, that would be amazing. But the Avs are also not the big bad Avs. So what scares me more is probably Vegas when they're healthy, you know, when they have all their players back in their lineup. They're going to be a
Mark Stone back for the playoffs or whatever they do, yeah, that they just kind of slip him in there.
They're going to be a really deep and scary team for sure once they get healthy. But that's a lot of ifs. That's a lot of gelling. You know, we're all kind of putting speculation that maybe they're being dishonest with their injuries. But I mean,
and is everybody sleeping on the Stars? Because I just feel like, you know, the Stars have kind of rocked that division all season, the Central Division, and you just never hear them talked about in the big dogs conversation.
Yeah, I would put the Stars in like the top five of the, or the top 10 rather.
But do they scare you? Because that, for me, I you know, I just don't see, like, you know, they have the same thing. You look at it like when we look at the big teams, they got Ottinger, they got the defenseman, Heiskanen, they got Robertson, like, you, they got the depth with the older veterans, Ben, who's been giving them like lights out production this year. So you look at the team, it's pretty stacked, but can they do anything in the playoffs and get past these Western team juggernauts?
Well, we have a game coming up against the Lightning, which could be a first round preview, by the way. If the wild card, you know, race continues the way it is.
Would you rather the Islanders or the Lightning?
In my thought process, I probably say this more than I should, that you play to the level. And I would rather go up against the Bolts for that reason, because I think they're a better team. And I think that the Islanders, even though I don't think that we're a bad matchup, I think that like on paper, we beat that team. That scares me more because we shouldn't lose to that team. But we saw in the stadium series that that team can take a lead on you. And, you know, I wouldn't want to have to claw back against them, where I just feel like the Bolts would provide us, you know, like nobody mess around. Like this is something to be taken really seriously. The Bolts match, let's say, you know, first round, I think we could beat them in six. You know, I think that the way that it looks right now, we would be better suited against a team like that than the bottom dweller in the Metro, for sure.
And you got to think, like, with how their contracts are playing out, like, it, you know, we saw that Panarin, we were there in MSG to see that Panarin game seven overtime winner against the Penguins. Could you imagine us kind of like putting to bed the Bolts a little bit, you know, after this season? You see Stamkos, maybe he's out the door, maybe things aren't as happy, free agents don't want to go there as much anymore, and there's just a little bit of turnover. Obviously, having a great head coach always brings people in, and no luxury tax, but it could be kind of like a turning, a changing of the guard in Florida down there.
Yeah, as you mentioned too, the Panthers becoming as competitive as they are, it would be nice to kind of put that to bed a little bit. And I do think that, like I said, that this would lean towards us if we were to compare the two teams. But it's going to be interesting, man. I mean, a lot of people are quick to say that, you know, Vasilevsky is still the best goalie in the league, but, you know, you start comparing the teams, I do like our chances with Igor playing as good as he is. What would be a team that scares you? Because I mean, I'm trying to think of a team that I wouldn't feel confident in seven, and I keep thinking about teams that aren't at the top.
I kind of think back to the, I know you just literally just said it about the stadium series, like the Islanders scare me on that. Like they do have some good big dogs kind of similar to us, that if they get going, it's a tough matchup. And we've seen them, we've struggled a few times in the last few seasons against them. So and all the old people who saw all those rivalry games in the 80s would come out of nowhere, New York media. So that game would get a lot more pressure for that. So I kind of am with you. I'd rather almost see the Bolts a little bit first in the first round. And that's just talking about our situation. As for teams that kind of scare me, I really got to say that if the Canes get hot with that new line, I'm a little bit scared. And they're a fast team and we know what they can do. And like the night before they played us, they would like, or Sunday night, they just won a game 7-1. So like they can get production. Something for them that's against them is I still don't think they have their goaltending. But if we went to like, you know, where we would have to outscore them and they were on their game scoring, that might give us a hard time because we've seen struggles from the Rangers this year, 5-on-5.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, if we continue this, I mean, we're in a really good spot. It's basically just stay healthy at this point. I would love to finish in first place, but like we kind of just pointed out, I mean, there's a lot of ambiguity with the bottom of the Metro and who holds on to that last Atlantic spot. But aside from kind of playing guessing games on the matchups, we're in a really good spot. It's basically cruise control from here and, you know, not getting injured before the playoffs. So looking forward to covering it with you.
Are we getting that Swami Steve prediction now for that Lightning game tomorrow? Maybe the first round matchup series.
You know,
all right. So anybody who actually listens to the show, we get great perspective from Steve. And sometimes this guy Swami Steve comes out on last week on the episode with Alexis Kennedy. He had predicted the score of the 4-2 loss to the Panthers.
I want to just say something, but like, and this sounds so crazy, I'm not claiming to be a clairvoyant or anything, man, but like sometimes it literally just pops in my head. Like, and that sounds weird, but if I just told you something, it'd be so forced. But 3-1 Rangers, I mean, does that sound unrealistic? Nice hard fought game, low scoring. the way that we've been playing lately seems entirely possible. Maybe
Igor gets the start.
I'm sorry.
Does Igor get the start?
Oh, absolutely. I think you have to take it as serious as a playoff game. And if you didn't hear me, Lafreniere goal, but let's go Rangers.
Oh, Lafreniere goal. Anytime goal scorer, Swami, Steve, Market. Let's go Rangers.
Cheers, buddy.